You know, there are two books in the Bible that are apocalyptic literature, Daniel and Revelations. Now, there are other apocalyptic writings in the Bible, but not as full as these two books. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Daniel. The word apocalyptic has a couple of different meanings. Hollywood kind of likes to use it. Maybe you've seen a recent commercial. They talk about the apocalypse, and when they do, you see like earthquakes and floods and rocks flying around and so forth. And it can be used as a definition for the fight against good and evil. But primarily, apocalyptic literature is that things that make known and reveal, thus the book of Revelation. Now, I don't want to talk about Daniel as far as end times or anything such as this, but the entire book of Daniel really shows that God is in control. And Daniel and his three friends really give us a picture of what happens with people when they turn their lives entirely over to God and trust on Him wholly. Now, 5 or 6 years ago when we first started Christ Lutheran Vale, and you've heard this little story before, but Paul Schaefer and Dick Phillips and I came out as elders from Vale, and somehow or other we got the moniker, the Over the Hill Gang. Well, I don't want to dwell on that, but I want you to know that Over the Hill Gang has grown to about 7 or 8 people now. And on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock, we meet at the church meeting space, otherwise known as the feed store, and we have a Bible study. And one of the things that we studied a few months ago was the book of Daniel, and for that reason, I really kind of wanted to share it with you for a couple of weeks while Pastor Hook is on vacation. Now, the ladies also meet at 10 o'clock. They meet at Dolores Hanneman's house. I don't know what the name is for their group. I know that they don't use the same name we do, but anyway, you never miss a chance to have a commercial for a Bible study. So if you would like to join us, you do not have to be retired. Just be free on Wednesday morning and come. Now, in the first scripture reading today, it talked about Daniel and where he was, that he was a young man, and so forth. I suppose Daniel was, give or take, a few years either side of 20, and he was there. He was in Babylon. Now, Daniel grew up in Israel. I don't know how far from Jerusalem, but not too far, because it's not that big country. So there's a couple of questions. How did he get to Babylon, and why did he get to Babylon? Well, how is pretty easy. He probably walked. That was the mode of transportation. It's about 600-700 miles from Jerusalem to Babylon, and maybe this is why, in the reading, the king thought that they needed to have some good and nourishing food. But it's not unusual. We have people who want to come into the United States that walk much further than that, and our pioneers walked much further than that across the Midwest. Why Daniel is there is probably the most important thing for us to think about. You know, we think many times of Jerusalem, I think, or Israel at the time of Christ. And at that time, they were not a powerful nation. In fact, they were subjugated by the Roman Empire. They collected taxes, things such as this. There may have been a few wealthy Jewish people at the time, but not as a country. But at one time, they were very wealthy. God always took care of the Israelites because they were His chosen people. Because of a famine, He got them into Egypt. They prospered there. He didn't want them to be slaves any longer. He got them out. Moses led them across, you know, to the promised land, and then they had a little hiccup because of a lack of faith. They wandered around for 40 years. But eventually, they come into the promised land, and it's a land of milk and honey. And it really was a great land. Now, as they came in, God gave them some specific instructions. And if you're interested, just read the book of Leviticus, and He tells them what all of the laws are, and so on. But there are two verses in chapter 25, the book of Leviticus, that I would like to share with you. It says, "The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. This is something that they forgot. And also, when they come in and prospered, you know, through the judges and through King Saul, King David, and finally Solomon. You know, Solomon was very wealthy. He had all sorts of alliances and so forth with different countries and other kings. And one of the ways he made these alliances were through wives. And if you look at 1 Kings, the first few chapters are all about Solomon's reign. And it talks about hundreds of wives, hundreds of concubines, hundreds of officials. Now think about this. How much did it cost for one meal in Solomon's court? And they did this three times a day for years and years and years, so we know that they had to be very wealthy. But there were a couple of things they forgot. This that we just read, he had told them, when you come in to the promised land, every 7 years, every seventh year, you give the land rest. And every seven of 7 years, or the 50th year, 49th and 50th year, the land must rest. And they forgot all about this. He also told them they were to have no false gods before them. Solomon kind of forgot about this because when he brought in all these wives, he brought their gods and built temples and so forth. Now, God's a very long-suffering God. Actually, 70 times they had forgot to let the land rest. If you think about that, 70 years, God said you will go into captivity for 70 years. And this is what happened. And Daniel and his three friends find themselves in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Now, what isn't really said in the book of Daniel, but stands out to me, is that Daniel, his three friends, had to have come from families who had not departed from God's word. So what does that tell us? It tells us we should have the kids here every Sunday, in Sunday school. We should be in worship all the time. Even though the leadership at that time and many of the priests had departed from doing what God wanted them to do, there were those that did not. Daniel and his friends remained very faithful to God. They didn't want to eat the food of the king because that food was usually first sacrificed to the false idols. They said they didn't want to make themselves unclean. And when it talks about vegetables and looking at some commentaries, they're talking about vegetables, grains, breads, and things such as this. They ate them, and they were in better shape than those eating the meats and wines from the king's table. I think it's important to know that Daniel and his friends had just defied the most powerful man in the world. Nebuchadnezzar, at that time, probably the most powerful man in the known world. Had they not looked better, just with one word, they could have lost their lives along with the guards and the king's messenger. But they did not. They turned themselves totally over to God and relied on Him. And if we finish that first chapter, following from Daniel 17 on, God rewards them for what they were doing because they were totally relying upon Him. And do we have 17, 18 until the end of the chapter? Yeah, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. The Babylonians had taken them into captivity. The Persians take over the Babylonians, and Daniel is still there. In the gathering section today of the bulletin, it gives you some of the years. If you love history, it will tell you that Daniel was there probably for 70 years. He had lived to be an old man. And the book ends with the book of Daniel ends with a really good promise for Daniel. That's a promise that we have too. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit about the dreams and Daniel in the lion's den and so forth.